to him. Your presence, Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Father, we make an exchange with you in this place. I don't care what you walked in with today. I hear God saying, make an exchange. Make an exchange. Just take the burdens and give it to God today. I hear the Lord saying, you can't do nothing with it, but I can. I'm making ways that are crooked straight. Come on. I'm numbering your tears and putting them in a bottle, says the Lord. I've got an expiration date. That's what he's saying. I got an expiration date on that situation that you've been fighting. I'm giving it to you, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Whenever you're walking through is when you got to get in the face of your adversity and you got to let the devil know you messed with the wrong person. There is an end to this trial, and it's today. There's an end to you fight my marriage, and it's today. There's an end to this war in my mind, and it stops today. Today, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Today, today, I'm reclaiming my peace. I'm reclaiming my joy. I'm reclaiming it. I want my sleep back. I want my peace back. I want that relationship back. Come on, somebody. I am not in the settling business. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me. I got the power to run through a troop and leap over a wall. I got the power to start fires everywhere I go. I am a glory carrier. I am anointed for this. I am the generational curse breaker in my family. Every time the devil tells me a storm is coming, I stand flat-footed and tell the devil, I am the storm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's filling you up. Come on, let him, let him, let him, let him. Come on online, come on online, wherever you are in your house. I want you to move your coffee table back. Come on, come on, come on. In your car, pull over on the side of the road. God is in our presence. He's in our presence. Something you've been fighting for 40 years is going to shift right now. Right now, in the presence of Jehovah, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end is in your presence. So, Father, we salute you. We salute you. We give honor to you, Father. I bind every spirit of depression in this place. I bind every spirit of mental illness in this place. Devil, you are a liar. I hear the Lord saying, tell Limitless, tell everybody online, you are worthy of what I'm about to do in your life. Some of y'all are so used to the deprivation and pain that you've been settling for mediocrity. And I hear the Lord saying, what I'm about to do in your life, I am tearing every ounce of caution red tape out. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on. Yeah, 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 yeah. I claim it, Lord. I claim it. I claim it. Tell God, I claim it. I claim it. I claim it. I claim it. The Lord told me over the weekend, he said he's activating purpose in this building. Some of y'all lost your dream. God said, I'm about to put some fire to your dream. I'm about to awaken you in areas that you felt forgotten and overlooked. I'm awakening you in those areas. I hid you for a purpose. Father, we break every ounce of distraction in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you keep on making a way where there never seems to be a way. That, Lord, you put I'm with impossible. You put the I am, I'm. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Man, worship team. Woo! Y'all crushed it. Y'all crushed it, man. Thank you for your oil. Thank you for your yes. Look at your neighbor right now and say, thank you for your yes. Thank you for your yes. Thank you for saying yes to God. Come on, tell your neighbor. Thank you for not giving up. Tell your neighbor, thank you for not, tell your neighbor, thank you for not giving up. Come on, online, drop it in the comments. Thank you for not giving up. Come on, tell them. Thank you for not giving up when it was time that you felt to give up, but you kept going. Sometimes we don't realize just how amazing we are that we kept going when all odds were against us. When we wanted to throw in the towel and we realized that God was throwing the towel back at us and saying, wipe your sweat, you're almost there. This is the day that the Lord has made. Man, we're so excited you're at Limitless. Online, we welcome you. We welcome you, man. We got TikTok going. We got Facebook going. We got Twitter going. We got every Instagram going. Everybody say, welcome, welcome, welcome. Now is the day when you use every avenue. We got people from Bulgaria watching right now. What? We could be Oprah for Jesus. All right, y'all. I'm going to title this. Have y'all enjoyed Players and Pretenders? Man, I missed y'all last week, but I left y'all in good hands, didn't I? Man, Pastor Ramon is a problemo. I'm going to title this, The Danger of Distraction. The Danger of Distraction. The Danger of Distraction. You have an assignment that God has given to you. Say to me. Nobody else can do it. Nobody has my fingerprint. Nobody has my oil. People can try to steal it, but they ain't got my sauce. You have an assignment that God has given to you, and you can't let nobody, say nobody, nobody. Come on, nobody, throw you off. Who you letting throw you off? Huh? Your assignment is God-given to your life because God gave you the assignment. You know what you have to do. So when God ain't moving quick enough, what do? You stay focused. When God looks like he's blessing everybody else and they just having this smooth sailing, social media is the worst. Social media have us believing everybody's getting blessed but us. But social media got filters. Any right person in their right mind knows you don't share stuff if people can't help you get through it. Because life and death are in the power of your words and in your social media platforms. So what you post, the enemy's like, because the enemy can't touch you. But where the enemy gets you is through distractions. The enemy does not come in a red cape and thorns and horns and a pitchfork. The enemy comes in everything that you want, and it's usually in time. I ain't moving quick enough. God ain't doing what he said he was going to do. I'm behind. I'm delayed. When God gives you an assignment, the devil plots a strategy against you. Facts. That's why people are always like, oh, Pastor Kim, the devil didn't fight me until I started loving him. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because he's not smart like that. Now he's crafty, but he's not wise. See, once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, he lives in you. The difference is now you realize when the devil's fighting you and you realize it's spiritual warfare and you know how to fight it. Some of y'all don't know how to fight it. Some of y'all chasing demons every corner. Oh, we love to chase the demons. Sometimes it ain't the demon, it's your choices. Because the enemy knows there's power in you, so he gets you off base by things that you want or missing in your life, and he brings it in disguise. And let me tell you something else. Chaos and confusion is not of God. Chaos and confusion is not of God. Spiritual warfare is real. Yes. The enemy does not want you to succeed. The enemy will close down things that he thinks that he can. He will use people to try to do it, but he cannot succeed unless you lay down and let him succeed. Right? When the devil starts plotting, you better start planning. When the devil's plotting, when all warfare is coming against your house, because when the enemy can't get to you, he's going to go through your kids. He's going to go through your spouse. Sage ain't going to fix it. Y'all burning sage in your house with the windows down. Demons are running all over your house trying to get out. Your husband is sitting there itching. Because you don't know the power that you possess. You don't know how to crank your engine, rev up your engine, and begin to walk through your house and sling some oil. Devil, get out of my house. Get out of my kids. Quit messing with my marriage. Sometimes the enemy uses your own mouth to keep you stuck. The devil ain't even after your marriage. He can't want your spouse. He wants you to mess up so that you can stop, because once you walk through heartbreak or you walk through failure or you walk through a traumatic season, the first thing we do is go into isolation and get quiet and hide from the world. And that's where the enemy creeps in. He's got you on lock. When all you had to do was pull your big old thick thigh or your muscular thigh. I might be struggling this season. I might look like I'm a hot mess this season, but I ain't staying there. Oh, you better not sleep on me, because I'm coming out of this thing oily. I'm coming out of this thing anointed. I'm coming. I might lose all my money, but I'm about to come back. I'm about to come back, because greater is he that is in me. What the devil steals in Joel 2:25, it said that God's going to give it back seven times. I don't want what I lost back. I want restitution. See, you can't be pitiful and powerful. You can't be messy and anointed. I ain't playing these patty cake games with you no more. You hear me? Sometimes God will wreck your plans because your plans were about to wreck you. Stop crying over what shut down and start praising God for where he's taking you. God never lets anything happen in your life that's not going to advance you. We always say, God ain't going to give you more than you can handle. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't know about y'all, but I had some things I know God wasn't in. But he let it happen. Hello, Lot. Hello, Job. He'll let some things happen, but he knows something's in you that's going to fight. And he's using this little detour to get you so anointed that you're dripping. There ain't nothing like hell and you coming out on fire, honey. It's better than seminary. It's better than learning how to dance. It's better than being a billionaire. When you've walked through some things and you got a passion on your life, you ain't even got to open your mouth. Your mere presence shifts an atmosphere. You will have to give an account with God on what you did with what God gave you. And whether or not you finished that assignment. We got to be like Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And I have kept the faith. You got to finish your course. Even if you're a late bloomer like I was. I didn't even start till I was 40, but look what God's done in 9 years. You can be in your CVS season. You can be in your Bloomingdale season. You can be in your rehab season. And the minute that God begins to pour the wind, open the windows of heaven over your life, you will go from the back of the line to the front of the line, just like Joseph. Hello, Joseph. You got to finish the course. You can't walk around saying, I got sidetracked from my assignment. It's almost like at your job. Your boss don't care if your auntie Susu needed a ride to her job and she wasn't ready when you got there. And so she made you late for your responsibility. Your boss don't care about Auntie Susu. Your boss cares about what he's paying you for. That's God. He doesn't care that you got sidetracked on the big boobs and the big booty. He don't care that you got sidetracked on the six-pack abs. He don't care that you got sidetracked. He said, once you come to know me, all old things have passed away and I've made things new. I need you to go from being a player to a pretender back to a player. I ain't talking about player in the Urban Dictionary either. I'm talking about being used of God. How many times have you gotten in trouble for being in some place you weren't supposed to be? I tell my kids all the time, I don't care who you in the car with, and I don't care if you ain't doing it. And neither do the police when you get stopped with pot smelling your whole car. They ain't going to do no urine test on you. They going to say, get in the car, because birds of a feather flock together. How many times have you found some of y'all bleeding on people and it ain't even your fault? You were put in a bad situation and you were handed a bad situation and you let what happened to you get in you. And now you're walking around bleeding on people that didn't cut you. But hey, the pain may not be your fault, but the healing is your responsibility. Because they done broke you and walked off. What are you doing with what God's trusting you with today? He trusted you because he knew that what you go through will either make you better or bitter. And he knew there was something in you that wasn't a quitter. Distractions has a purpose. Its purpose is to distract you from your purpose. Distraction has a purpose, and its purpose is to distract you from your purpose. Purpose is what you are born for. Everything that God does with purpose. On purpose, for purpose. He created us for purpose, and sometimes if you ever lose sight of your purpose, you begin to hurt. We get in these relationships and then want God to bless our mistake. God never told you to get in that relationship. We want God to bless what we did not listen. We heard it. Accountability told us, don't do it. You didn't do it, and now your fruit is you having to reap the benefits. But here's the beautiful thing about God. He is not a kind of, he ain't like no Christians. He ain't going to throw you away. He's a good, good father. He said, I love to use people with the worst past to create the best futures. Stop trying to right the wrongs and let the wrong be gone. You're going to mess up sometimes in life, but if you learn the lesson and stop staying in the mess, I will use you. So he uses it for a purpose. When you're out of the will of God, it causes pain in your life. You know what happens when we get pained. We're looking to have pain stop, so we get in addictions. We leave church. We start reaching for all the wrong things. We get attached to the wrong people. And what happens? It becomes a spiral effect. And you find yourself spiraling out of control. And God is over here saying, I'm just trying to get you back on base. Well, where's he at? Where's God at? He moved. No, God didn't move. You moved. God don't move. He never gives up on you. He never walks out on you. He's just waiting for you to come back and say, okay, here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Nothing like losing everything. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my... I learned my lesson now. I'm back. I'm back, God. I'm back. I'm back. I'm falling apart, but I'm back. My clothes are all messed up, but I'm back. My reputation's scarred a little, but I'm back. Let's look at this, y'all. The absence of pain is relief, not fulfillment. The absence of pain relief is not fulfillment, but the enemy allows things to be temporary fixes so you get off base and you think your life is over. I don't care what you're doing today. I don't care if you're in the middle of a hotel room sticking drugs in your vein right now, ready to commit suicide. I'm here to heed you back to the voice of God. Pulling you back. pulling you back, wanting to give up on ministry, wanting to throw in the towel, wanting to quit your job, wanting to go back into that addiction. I'm here to pull you back. You know why? I read in the news the other day, the reason why we can't get enough employees to work at these places. There ain't no food, there ain't no stimulus checks. Where are they? They fell back into addiction in the last 3 years. So many people got caught back up in drugs and alcohol that they're fighting for their lives because we have not delivered them hope. Now is not the time to beat brow somebody into heaven or hell. Now's the time to hand them the baton and say, God is right here. It is never too late. If you will believe in yourself again, you might have fallen. You might have done everything they said you did. But God is waiting with his arms wide open to put you back in position. Let's look at 2 Samuel really quickly. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5. It says, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Say, I'm ready. It says, in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind. David was a fighter. But on this day, he decided to stay behind in Jerusalem. Said, there ain't nothing good in staying behind. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was. Anything that you gotta hide, sneak, or delete, or send somebody else to do, because you can't be seen doing it, to bring back for your sneaky self. You gotta hide from the popo. You got your heart starts beating when they behind you. There ain't nothing good about to happen. He sends somebody to go find out who this woman is. As he looked out over the city, he noticed this woman taking a bath, because the enemy does not come with just anything. He comes in everything that's going to turn your head. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, that David works for you. He is a faithful follower of yours. Then David sent messengers to get her. Now this dude already had 17 wives. What you gonna do? But when you get something and it makes you feel good, it ain't never enough. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Fame, glory, a little bit of, oh, these people are praising me. It will make you begin to abort the mission that God has on your life, wherever the enemy can get. The little foxes spoil the vine. Well, this is so the housewives of Jerusalem. So David sends messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She completed the purification rites after her 28-day thing. She was cray-cray for a week. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was prego. No. She what? It was only once. That's all it takes. One weak moment to mess up everything. It took you 12 years to build that house, build your character, and one light of a match will blow the whole house down. She sent him a message. I'm pregnant. While David was supposed to be out fighting other battles, he was sidetracked at home losing a battle. Let me tell you who this David is, so y'all don't feel so bad, because they'll be all like, girl, I did it. I've been there. I've done that. Let me just tell you, it don't matter. You can be a player. You can be one of God's favorites and then all of a sudden become a pretender because you let your flesh get in the way. But you can still come back to be a player. This David, the one after God's own heart, this is the David who went out after Goliath won. He went out after Goliath when everybody else was scaredy cats, and he won with a stone. This is the David who became the commander of Saul's army. This is the David of whom the song was written, Saul has slain his thousands, but David, oh David, oh David, has slain his 10,000s. This is the David, this sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the David who has a city named after him. They call Jerusalem the city of David. This is the David, y'all, that if flag still hangs up in Israel with the blue star on it. This is that David who is tempted. The fact is, when you get distracted, it's about putting your attention on something that you're not supposed to be doing. And it pulls your attention on that instead of what you're supposed to be doing. 1 ounce of obedience. Say 1 ounce of obedience will do more for you than all the prayer in the world. Some of y'all praying for a miracle, and God's like, I'm waiting on you to go back and do what I told you to do before. We don't want to do hard things. We want God to do it for us. You come get laid hands on every week, and you're still crazy. They put you on different medications trying to get you right, and you're still crazy. Every relationship you get in still goes to hell in a handbasket. And you have yet to realize that the reason is because you've got an anointing on your life, and the enemy is using everything he can to get you sidetracked. And it ain't never too late for me to surrender and take back everything the devil has stolen. But here's the key. It ain't gonna take somebody laying hands on you. Somebody can lay hands on you, but they ain't God. It takes an experience with God where you get on your knees and repent and say, God, I did it. I know I did it. I don't know why I keep going back and reaching for things that I know ain't good for me. But God, I am settling in this spot of, please forgive me. I repent. Change my ways. I hate people. Heal the part of me that makes me hate people. Heal the part of me that makes me reach for drugs, alcohol, sex, with people that I ain't married to, and their cooties getting in me. And now we all walking around crazy with demons because we're reaching for things that aren't. Have y'all ever been in a relationship with somebody that's the devil? Anybody? Some of y'all made them the devil, but I'm just saying. When I think about all the people that are probably still going to therapy because of me, I'm like, Jesus. Thank you, God, for healing me, because I had a strength. I kept a lot of therapists busy in all these different states. Because I was crazy. And that's why I was crazy, because the enemy didn't want me to get it right. Here is the real principle that I want you to get out of what happened in the story of David becoming distracted with Bathsheba. It is that when you avoid the battle that you were born for, then you all of a sudden get in a battle you're not equipped for. Why'd he stay at home? Why'd he get out of alignment? Because he's human. Whenever you avoid the battle that you were born for, you are going to face another battle that you are not equipped for. He wasn't equipped to hear her say, "I'm pregnant." That was a whole different battle. It was a battle of his flesh. He was dealing with a battle of lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, and it created something he wasn't ready for. Whenever you avoid the battle that you are born for, you're headed into trouble. Say, but it ain't never too late. It ain't never too late to recover. Whenever you avoid the battle that you were born for, you're headed into trouble. That's why you got to stay in your lane. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And you got to stay on your mission and not be distracted. Have y'all ever seen, y'all, it's almost like when you get in a relationship with somebody that fills a void, they are the hardest people on the planet to get rid of. That's why you got to be careful jumping in these relationships. Because you get with the wrong one, they don't let you go. Because when you get with somebody that ain't got nothing going on, they will help you mess up everything in your life that's going on. When God gives you an indication that something is off, you better run. Stop thinking it's because you're emotional. No, God is protecting you. Whenever God would speak prophetically to his people, he would tell them to walk upright, turn neither to the left or to the right. In other words, he was saying, don't you get distracted. Here's why. That distraction is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. Dog. That distraction is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. You were doing so good. You were coming out of the pit, and then the enemy sent something in your life that got your life all cattywampus to fill a void for that moment. Distractions are subtle. It could be as simple as someone batting their eyes at you. The devil knows exactly what to use to get you distracted. Someone being exactly what you desire. Much of history regulated Bathsheba to being one of the bad girls of the Bible. She's portrayed as a beautiful seductress who selfishly orchestrated the downfall of God's anointed king. But in contrast, the king is often vindicated for his deeds as rescuing this questionable woman from the clutches of a neglectful and unfailing marriage. Her husband was not neglectful or unfailing. He was loyal to his assignment. So this man is loyal to his assignment, and because the woman is in her head, now all of a sudden, God sends this man into her life to fill a void, because communication kills assumption. Now here's the problem. When David realizes Bathsheba's pregnant, he then decides, let me send her husband home to sleep with her. And then she's going to get pregnant, and I'm going to be free. But how many of you know that ain't how sin works? Y'all ever seen those people that get themselves in trouble? They were a bad, bad birdie. They ain't been to church in 12 years. But the minute they're about to go to prison for 38, they hear every Sunday. They the first ones in church. They shout me down. I go to court with them. We win. Where they at? Your character will always be exposed in the middle of a foul, a mess up. You ever seen those marriages where the man or the woman had an affair on her husband? And everybody's like, oh, they threw. But all of a sudden, the husband and the wife had this conversation, and they decide, no, we're going to fight. Because why would the enemy want to destroy this union unless there's something powerful here? This man or this woman could have been the worst person on the planet, and within 30 days, God shit the marriage and become the best marriage all over the world, witnessing about God's grace. What is it? It's because of a heart posture shift. They went from player, pretender to player. That's what we see here. Now, here's the problem. He was a man after God's own heart, but sin still sin. So he sends Uriah, that was one of his most faithful fighters. He says, go home and sleep with your wife. The problem was back in those days when you were on duty and you had a call and a commitment, you didn't do those things. He goes home and he's so faithful to David and his assignment, he sleeps on the steps and doesn't even sleep with his own wife. Now David's messed up. Couldn't weasel his way out of that. So the next thing he does is he sends for Uriah to have to be on the front lines of war because he knew he would be killed. When you tie yourself to the wrong people that are already, now he's saying David had a bad moment. Look, Peter had a bad day. Judas had a bad heart. David was going through a bad, bad season. However, if you get tied up with somebody that is in a bad, bad season and their fruit keeps showing you something ain't right, something ain't right here, something ain't adding up, they will literally destroy you to advance themselves. They always want from you, but they ain't never willing to give to you. There's always a motive. I pray every day of my life, God, expose the motive. Because I ain't always been good at that. I've been like, come on, yes, it's all for us. You taking people to the top that don't even want you at the top. You know how many years I have messed up my life because I tried to take people that didn't have the character of the purpose of God on my life? I ain't even mad no more. I'm like, bye. I love you. I bless you. But you better learn how to hear the voice of God for yourself. The problem is, history has done a grave disservice to God's word by misinterpreting critical stories. The tragedy of David and Bathsheba is an epic story of human failure and the disastrous consequences of turning away from God. Bathsheba was married to Uriah, one of King's generals. Some of y'all have had some king generals that you've had in your life that were close, and they've broken your heart. And if you've got a situation on the inside of you that needs people approval, every time they break your heart, you leave the presence of God because someone represented God wrong. My prayer is that you get to a place where it doesn't matter what people have done to you, that you know how to discern a bad day versus a bad heart. There's some of y'all sitting in this building right now that you have laid down. Some of y'all can sing like Mariah Carey, but you ain't got back up to sing in church because of somebody that broke your heart. You won't serve in this house because you're afraid of something some church person has done in your life. And now you're literally, I'm looking around. Who can sing in our church, huh? Who can sing? Y'all's hitting each other now. Well, we got people sitting in our houses, in our church houses, that are not used of God, that carry an anointing, more anointing in your fingertip than I got in my whole body. But you quit being used of God because you got broken in a season. Because maybe you had a bad moment and you fell. You lost your way. And the church kicked you out in the middle of you losing your way. Because people in the church are famous for kicking the wounded, killing the ones that are broken, throwing out people that don't look like us. We can talk about other people's sin as long as ours ain't being seen. See, we care what people think. We care about what people think about us. People see our deeds, but God sees our hearts. I'm asking you today, Limitless Church and online, what is staying in the way, stopping you from doing what God has called you to do? Because when you get an experience with God, you don't need nothing else but God. He heals your marriage. He gets you ready for your Boaz, for your Ruth. You ain't praying for a Ruth with your head in Delilah's lap. You are getting yourself right. You hear me? Stop allowing a season in your life to define your lifetime. Stop having to hide stuff. What is hidden will be shown in light. When you've got God in your life, you can play with me. When you've got God in your life, you don't need to feel no void. You ain't trying to right no wrong. You letting the wrongs be gone. You ain't letting what they did to you get in you. David went from being a player and doing the will of God to being a pretender. Even after learning that she was married, David still summoned for her to come and have whatever he wanted from her, and God had a baby. Now listen to this. Once Uriah was killed, see, some of y'all giving all your time to people, they're draining you. That job is draining you because you need approval. Somebody hurt you and tore your self-esteem up. If you knew how fast somebody fills a position when you die, you seek for an audience of one. God, I fear you. I fear the Lord, y'all. Not because he's a mean God. He's a good God. But I know the blessings that come when I'm walking right. And in order to walk right, you got to forgive yourself. Quit putting your mouth on people. Quit hanging out with people that put their mouth on people. She got pregnant. Uriah was killed. David took her. The baby didn't make it. Here's a beautiful thing about God and grace. God still gave them a baby. Not the one that was producing the sin. But he gave them a child that ended up being one of the greatest men used of God. What am I saying? God will use people with the worst past to create the best futures, but you don't have to keep living in the shame and the guilt. I surrender all to you, withholding nothing, God. Your will, not mine. Well, what if God gets me back like those people in that church? What if God kicked? You know how many people ain't coming to church because the church didn't love them right? Now they don't feel like even walking in a church. You know how many people come at me because I don't put the Bible down on somebody and say, you can't be in my church because you did. You got to stop allowing yourself to allow situations in your life. When God moves the devil out of your life, get rid of the spirit. Them devils will come in your life. It's the craziest thing ever. I've seen it time and time again. One devil leaves and you're like, oh God, thank you, Jesus. Whoa, I can breathe. Only 7 days later, another one shows up right in the same seat. Riding in your same seat in your car. Same spirit, different faces. Because you don't know the power that you possess. You ain't got to fight it in your natural. God will take care of it. But the reason, God, you can stand up on your feet, the reason God blessed David was because David had a heart to get it right. I don't know what you walked in with, or all of you online, that maybe you put yourself off the clearance rack, off the couture rack, and put yourself on the clearance rack. I hear the Lord saying this morning, it ain't over. All that I did to mess up my life, 36 years old, I lose everything because of my sin. I did everything they said I did. I nay-nayed and didn't pray. I felt like it was my just due reward to do everything that my mother and my father never did so I could understand the sinners better. All a lie. Until I finally got to that place where I hit rock bottom and I found out who the rock is at the bottom, which is Jesus. What did I do? I had a oh hell no moment. I ain't going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to dance with the devil. The devil will stop knocking at your door if you'll stop answering it. He'll start looking under his bed every night to see if you're under there. He'll be like, oh my God, he awake. Oh wait, I see a hand crawling out of that deep pit. Woo! Just the fingers are anointed. Ooh, I see it. He'll try to step on your fingers to get you to let go again. You got to keep on graveling until you get out of that place that you ain't stuck in. You ain't stuck because you ain't a tree. You're stuck because you stopped moving. As long as you ain't dead, God ain't done. Whatever you walked in with today that made you feel like you messed up the call of God on your life, maybe you're in the fight of your life right now and you're being loyal to a mistake. Letting your excuses be your prison. God is saying right now, have a conversation with God. I'm ready to walk you through the door. I'm going to be 50 years old in 3 months. I can't even believe it. In the last 9 years, I was working at Bloomingdale's making $9 an hour at 40. I was a player, pretender, mad at God for all the storms I created. Because I thought God was a mean God and I didn't want to have to pay for the rest of my life. I went through deliverance and I kept telling God all the way to the deliverance because I just needed anything. I was straight up devil. And I remember going into the deliverance and I was like, God, now I don't want to be spitting up. And I heard God say, I am not a mean God. I don't mess up your dignity. God does not mess up your dignity. God does not embarrass you. Does not make you pay 12 Hail Marys. He's a God of taking your mess and making it a message. He's a God that takes your scars and turns them to stars. He's a God that takes your pain and turns it into a pulpit. That's who God is. If you're in this room today and you're like, man, Kim, I'm struggling with this thing. You done messed me all up today. Because I was fine just staying small. But today you've given me courage to crawl out of the pit. I hear the Lord saying, I don't care how old you are, it ain't never too late. The redemption plan of God is so phenomenal. Don't you get distracted. Some of y'all being distracted right now. Right this second, the enemy has sent somebody in your life to distract you. You were on the right course. What are you doing? I'm calling you back. You're in this place. I want to surrender, Kim. I want you to lift up your hand. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to surrender, Kim. I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to walk in the call that God has for my life. I'm ready to stop chasing demons that ain't after me. I'm ready to stop chasing the weapons. It says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Didn't say they weren't going to form. A lot of them form in your decisions. The weapons don't form. It didn't say they don't form. It says they will not touch you. Unless you pick the weapon up and use it on yourself. God is about to deliver you today. Come on online. Come on, drop a one. If you're ready. Here's what God's about to do. I hear advancement. I hear advancement. I'm ready to surrender, God. And here's what God's going to do, y'all. While you surrender, God is about to give you clarity in your mind. I hear the Lord saying, God is about to give you clarity. You don't come to me when you get it right. You come to me so I can help you get it right. He put a whole scripture in the Bible that says, when you fall, get back up again. He didn't say, go sit down and cry over what you've done. So today is your day to get up. Today is your day to repent. Today is your day to surrender. Come on, 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 come on. Come on, God, I give it to you. Come on, I give it to you. 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 I hear the Lord saying, you're about to be on the ride of your life. Lord, I speak clarity over every person online. I speak clarity over every person in this building. I speak clarity this week. I hear the Lord saying, stop thinking too much. Some of y'all thinking right now, you're trying to figure out, do I want to do it? Do I not want to do it? Am I ready for this? I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know. Now, stop it. Jump in. Stop trying to be OCD with God. Stop trying to figure it out with God. You ain't never going to figure God out. He does exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask, or even think. Do you realize? That means you can't even pray about it. That means you and your OCD self, you can't even put it on a dream board. What he is about to do if you let go and let God. God, I don't know where I'm going, but I ain't never surfed in my life, but I'm about to surf with you. Yeah. I might fall, but you're going to catch me when I fall because I know you ain't going to wreck your reputation on me again. Everybody say, God. Come on, repeat it after me. Say, Lord. I give you permission to wreck me in your presence. I give you permission to speak to me because I am worthy of your presence in my life. I give you permission to expose anything in my life that keeps stopping me. I give you permission to let me move forward in you. I give you permission, God, to do what you need to do in my life. Sometimes you got to give him permission because he's a gentleman. I give you permission. I am worthy. Come on, say, I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. I'm getting up. I'm going to be a revival in my world. A hell shaker. In a good way. A game changer. A generational curse breaker. In my family. I'm taking care of some things now so my kids and grandkids ain't got to do it later. I ain't scared of nothing. Devil, you should have messed with me before PK came up and worked this word in my life today. Because I'm back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So everybody in this building just got saved all over again. I just kind of feel like every Sunday we could get saved again. You know what I'm saying? Just in case when the trumpet goes bah, 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 and the sky splits, I want y'all living on 1674 Graceland Circle in Heavenly Lane by me. So just in case we're going to get saved again every Sunday. All right, y'all ready to give? Did y'all get this word today? Did y'all love this word today? Man, I love y'all so much. I believe in you, Limitless Family. I believe in you, Social Media Family. I believe in you, Inner Circle. I believe in you.